We're now reading from the prophecy of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapters 52 and 53. Chapter 53, verses 5 and 6 will serve as the basis for our meditation this evening. Look, my servant will succeed. He will rise. He will be lifted up. He will be highly exalted. Just as many were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man, and his form was disfigured more than any other person. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him, because they will see something they had never been told before, and they will understand something they had never heard before. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root from dry ground. He had no attractiveness and no majesty. We saw him, nothing about his appearance made us desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man who knew grief, who was well acquainted with suffering. Like someone whom people cannot bear to look at, he was despised, and we thought nothing of him. Surely he was taking up our weaknesses, and he was carrying our sufferings. We thought it was because of God that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. But it was because of our rebellion that he was pierced. He was crushed for the guilt our sins deserved. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all have gone astray like sheep. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has charged all our guilt to him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb he was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent in front of its shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away without a fair trial and without justice. And of his generation, who even cared? So he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of the rebellion of my people. They would have assigned him a grave with the wicked, but he was given a grave with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence and no deceit was in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to allow him to suffer. Because you made his life a guilt offering, he will see offspring. He will prolong his days, and the Lord's gracious plan will succeed in his hand. After his soul experiences anguish, he will see the light of life. He will provide satisfaction. Through their knowledge of him, my just servant will justify the many, for he himself carried their guilt. Through their knowledge of him, my just servant will justify the many, for he himself carried their guilt. Therefore, I will give him an allotment among the great, and with the strong he will share plunder, because he poured out his life to death, and he let himself be counted with rebellious sinners. He himself carried the sin of many, and he intercedes for the rebels. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You don't send a lamb into battle. You don't send a sheep to war. Try sending a flock of sheep into battle, and people will question the wisdom of your plan, if not question your sanity. Why not send something fast, like a horse or a camel? Why not something smart, like a dog? Why not something big and powerful, like an elephant? Or why not something, you know, that's big and ferocious, that can fight off the attackers, can defend itself like a lion or a tiger or a bear? What, a sheep? Why ever would you send a sheep into battle? It's no good on the battlefield. In fact, it's more of a danger to itself. It has no ability to defend itself. It has no awareness of danger. It's small and weak. It's helpless against predators. It falls into rushing streams and gets washed away. It gets so focused on the next juicy tuft of grass that it blindly wanders away from the safety of the flock. It gladly and blindly, foolishly, just keeps going around in circles, thinking that's just fine. It's a very foolish animal that does silly things and is only a danger to itself, even in the most peaceful of circumstances. Yet they're so much like us. Jesus even refers to us as sheep. Yes, at times we might think we're big and strong. We might think we can handle anything, that even danger to our souls. We might think we can fight back and even pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. If we get lost, we might think we'll always get ourselves out of it. We'll find our way home. We might think we would never be as foolish and helpless as sheep. But aren't we? There's a reason why the prophet wrote these words, these painful words. We all have gone astray like sheep. Each of us has turned to his own way. So we ponder the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. That stark reality comes all too clear. When faced with the power of temptation, I'm no match. So I blindly chase after it with no awareness of the danger around me or how far I wander from the Good Shepherd and his flock. When faced with the overwhelming pressure of our sinful world, I hate to tell you this, but you're no match either. It consumes you like it has so many other souls. When faced with the deceitful attacks of Satan, none of us is any match. We're weak, we're powerless, we're helpless against the roaring lion looking for someone to carry off and devour in the fires of hell. Now, why can't we defend ourselves? You'd think we'd put up some kind of a fight. Yet inside each and every one of us is a traitor, a betrayer worse than Judas Iscariot, who gladly hands us over to sin, who gladly hands us over to Satan, who gladly hands us over to the sinful world with no attempt to fight back on our part. We're incapable of paying attention to the constant danger around us and within us. We're quickly swept away with everyone else rushing headlong into the torments of hell. In the meantime, you and I do foolish things. How often don't you look back on your day and say to yourself, why did I do that? Or why did I say that? Or why didn't I do that or say that? We keep going around in circles, always returning to cherished sins of weakness and familiar temptations. We wander off from our good shepherd and his flock, chasing after the next juicy temptation until we find ourselves alone and helpless. And then the consequences of sin, they build and they build and they build and they come crushing down like the razor-sharp jaws of a wolf, and we're broken. We're bloody. We're dying. And we cannot possibly do anything to help or save ourselves. Death haunts our every turn, awaiting that right time to finish us off. Because we all have gone astray like sheep, each of us has turned to his own way. You don't send a sheep into battle. You send it to the shearer or the slaughterhouse. You don't send a lamb into war, but it's perfect for a sacrifice. Look back on the history of God's Old Testament people, and you will see how truly important a lamb was. For the ancient Israelites, yearning for freedom from Egypt, the blood of a lamb was the difference between life and death. It was the blood of a year-old male lamb without defect that served notice to the angel of death to pass over their homes, to not strike anyone dead in that house, as he wiped out the firstborn of Egypt. It was the meat of a lamb that God's people would eat every spring in remembrance of God's gracious deliverance so many years before. For the ancient Israelites who traveled to the temple in Jerusalem, lambs and sheep, goats and cattle were sacrificed daily as burnt offerings for sin to the holy God. Blood shed symbolizes sins forgiven. And no day of sacrifice was greater than the annual Day of Atonement, when two young male goats were selected for a special purpose. Now one was sacrificed with his blood sprinkled practically on everything. On the Ark of the Covenant, on the curtain between the holy place and the most holy place, on the tent of meeting or the temple, put on the altar, sprinkled on the people. It was sprinkled all over the place. But for the other goat, and the reason for all that is because blood shed symbolizes sins forgiven. But for the other goat, the priest would take his blood-stained hands, press them down on the head of that goat, and confess the sins of all the people on that Day of Atonement. Then the goat bearing all those sins would be abandoned, would be taken far away where it could not come back, would be abandoned out in the wilderness, so that God's people would recognize, would remember that when God takes away sin, they are gone forever and they will not come back. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. The words of the prophet condemn us for being the sheep that we are, foolish, straying, and willingly wandering away. Yet they give us hope, because the Lord saves us through the sacrifice of another lamb. We all have gone astray like sheep. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has charged all our guilt to him. When all we could do was foolishly wander around in blind circles, getting ourselves consumed by sin and Satan and doing a fantastic job of getting ourselves defeated day after day, the Lord of grace sent a lamb, his lamb, sent that lamb into battle. Now this Lamb of God was not weak, though he did not make full use of his almighty power. This Lamb of God was not helpless, though he did allow himself to be attacked and beaten, to be condemned and killed with all the pain and suffering that Satan and the sinful world and death could throw at him. Though the countless sheep he had come to save loved to wander into death traps themselves. This Lamb of God was perfect for fighting this battle, because he would be the perfect sacrifice for sheep like you and me. We all have gone astray like sheep. Each of us has turned to his own way. We see the foolish wandering of our sins, but then one last statement falls like a wall of doom, crushing down not on us, but on the Lamb of God. But the Lord has charged all our guilt to him. Or maybe, as you might remember from a previous translation, where the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All the guilt you've built up, all the foolishness you've done, all the selfishness you've cherished, all the iniquity that has caused you to fall short of God's holiness, every consequence of every single sin, of every single sinner, going all the way back to our first parents and going all the way to the last sinner when Christ returns, came crushing down on the Lamb of God. The Lord of free and faithful grace piled all of it on, letting that Lamb feel the pain of every last sin. Is it any wonder why Jesus cried out from the cross in the pitch black darkness, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet at that moment, the Lord of free and faithful grace, the Holy God himself, was turning away from his sin-crushed lamb and turning his grace toward you and me. The Lord of grace laid the crushing iniquity of us all on the almighty shoulders of the Lamb of God, and then it was done. The Lamb cried out, "It is finished," and then committing his spirit into his heavenly Father's hands, Jesus bowed his head and died. The perfect sacrifice was made, and God's justice was satisfied. The earth shook. The rock split. The heavy curtain in the temple that separated sinful humanity from the holy God was torn in two from top to bottom. Even faithful believers who had died came out of their tombs alive. The battle was over, and the Lamb, by his sacrifice, had won. And now his sacrifice on Good Friday is your victory. Your ransom has been paid with the holy, precious blood of the Lamb of God. You have been declared righteous. You have been declared not guilty. You have been declared innocent because the Lamb bore all of your iniquities. You have peace with God because the punishment that brought us peace was upon Jesus, and by his wounds we are healed. Now do you see why Good Friday is so good? This is not a funeral. The Lamb of God bore the punishment for all of our foolish wandering that we might live. He was crushed for the guilt our sins deserved. Yet we receive all the blessings, all the grace, all the mercy from the hand of God. He was sacrificed so we might have peace with God, so we might stop our foolish wandering and follow him by faith on the path of righteousness that brings us to heaven. In the end, there was no other way. There was no other solution. There was no other plan, no matter how foolish it seemed to send a lamb into battle or how costly it would be, that Christ himself, God himself, would have to be the sacrifice for our sin. There was no other Savior. There was no other sacrifice that could be made. And so we see the Lamb of God willingly and without complaint go to war for us tonight. Tonight we see him be this perfect sacrifice for you and for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise, for the Lord has charged all our guilt to him. Amen.